Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And joining us now is Bob Sussin. He's the chairman of the American Legion Riders. Bob, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on the morning briefing today.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So before we talk about the Legion Riders, which many people know about, but quite a few don't, let's talk about Bob, and let's talk about your background. So you are a veteran yourself. When did you join? Where did you serve? And what did you do?
I was one of the last draftees, actually. Got drafted in 1970 out of graduate school, was working on my doctorate, and didn't have enough credit to stay out of the draft, and got drafted. I'm a New Yorker, born and raised in New York. First trip to New Jersey was basic training, and then I got sent, after my basic training, I was sent overseas and had an opportunity. I was actually stationed in Japan. And had an opportunity to travel back and forth to Vietnam, and spent about almost 7 years in the actual military, and then most of my adult life actually was spent in Asia after the military. After the getting out of the Army, I went to work for General Electric and ran Asia for them for a while.
Oh, wow. So that's very interesting. And one of the things that we like to talk to veterans about is that transition from the military to the civilian world. So if you can think back to that time period of your life, what was it like transitioning from being in the military for 7 years and that being your life to working for a civilian company and doing so in Asia and not actually here in the United States?
It's interesting. I guess mine is a unique experience in that my military service, I was fortunate to have training or education that put me into a job that gave me a lot of freedom. I was actually a forensic chemist.
Oh.
So I traveled around Asia, and while I was doing that, I transitioned out of working on that. When I was about ready to get out of the military, met some people in Japan and stayed there. And I still speak Japanese. I learned Japanese while I was there and started a business. So it was actually quite different for me in that it was in Japan, it was in Japanese. And then from there, I did come back to the United States, but basically with the same company that we started.
You know, it's always interesting to meet someone who's learned a different language, particularly Japanese, one that the only Japanese I know I learned from the band Styx and their song Mr. Roboto, I think. So going through that part, I mean, did it make transition more difficult for you? Why did you choose to go that route instead of maybe coming back to the United States and working within your native language? Was that a challenge that you liked, or what was the reason for you deciding to stay over there?
Early on, I decided that if I was in Japan, it would be a shame. I met many, many Americans that were there, some of them almost 20 years, that could say no more than good morning or good afternoon. Hmm. It bothered me that people were speaking and I didn't understand what they were saying. So I thought, what a better way, but I need to learn Japanese. And I did not want to, and really didn't have the time to go to school for it. So I put together my own immersion program. I left the TV on all the time, the radio on all the time, and then I enrolled in a judo class on the economy, which was, you know, in the local community, that did not speak English. So I was quite sore in the beginning.
Right.
But after a while, my Japanese started sprouting as a child, I guess. And I would go to judo very, very, very frequently. And my language got on from there. And then I started building vocabulary. And it sort of developed. The advantage to doing that was that I didn't have an accent. Sort of was more native. So I do get, of course, even today I can speak with a Japanese person and they don't see that I'm a non-Japanese until I make some gross grammar mistakes, which I'll do very, very quickly as we speak.
So you served in the military for 7 years. You get out. You spend most of your time working in Asia. As you said, living in Japan, immersing yourself in the culture, learning the language. How did you come to become a member of the American Legion? Did it happen while you were over there, or did that come later on in your life?
It came on later in life. I did a corporate career after the military. Well, I had my own business, transitioned back to the United States, did that business for a while. Was headhunted by a large U.S. corporation, did that for a while, moved to Virginia, and bumped into a fellow at a Rotary Club, actually, that asked me if I'd served, and I did, and he asked me to join, explained what it was. I was intrigued and joined.
And what has that experience been like for you?
It's been actually quite amazing. The American Legion's a really well-kept secret. I think we're very good at doing what we do. I challenge anybody, go to legion.org or look on Facebook for the American Legion or the American Legion Riders. We do amazing things, and I think more and more we get out there. We get out into the community, especially the riders, and touch so many lives that it's really a humbling experience.
Now, the American Legion Riders, I'm aware of from seeing them involved in various ceremonies, seeing some news coverage. I saw one fairly recently of a young man who was told he couldn't ride his bike to school with the American flag on it. The Legion Riders said, oh, really? And rode their bikes to school alongside of him with the American flag on it. What are the American Legion Riders about, and what is it that you guys do?
The American Legion Riders are any member of the American Legion family, whether they be someone who served, a son of a veteran, or a member of our auxiliary. And that's the only qualification for membership, aside from obviously owning a motorcycle and riding a motorcycle. But what we are motorcycle enthusiasts. It's not a motorcycle club. We're motorcycle enthusiasts that want to use that vehicle to help promote the goals and the purposes of the American Legion.
And for those like myself, I'm a motorcycle rider, and most of my time it's by myself or maybe with a friend or two. What's it like being out there with a whole bunch of your other Legion members? As you said, not a motorcycle club, but really an organization affiliated with the American Legion, putting forth the ideals of the Legion. What does that feel like when you get out there riding with your brothers and sisters from the American Legion?
It's actually a very amazing experience. I'll give you an example. 13 years ago, we had, after 9/11, we realized that the country was changing, things were changing, and that we had men and women giving their lives for our country that needed something from us. And what we did was we started an annual ride, and the annual ride went from our national headquarters to the site of our national convention. In the beginning, it was 50 or 60 riders, and we rode for something called the American Legion Legacy Scholarship Fund. That fund was set up so that any fallen comrade or brother or sister that gave his life, the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty, we would help with their college education for their children. We rode on that. We do that every year, annually. It's grown over the last 4 or 5 years. We've raised over $1 million. This past year we raised $1.3 million, and we've recently expanded the scholarship to include children of 50% or more disabled veterans. And that ride annually is a 5 or 6 day ride. Many of the same people come to it. It arguably has anywhere between 350 and 500 riders at any given time.
Wow.
It's one of the largest organized rides in the United States. I personally helped plan it and actually lead the ride. It's just an amazing experience. We go out into America. We stop at schools. We stop at veteran cemeteries, at veterans' homes. We're greeted in the community. It's a time when you got to have sunglasses with you because eyes get very watery.
Mm, indeed.
So it's really humbling.
We're speaking with Bob Sussin. He's the chairman of the American Legion Riders. And you know, when you see 12 motorcycles out there riding together, it sticks out. When you see a couple hundred, I've never actually seen that in person, but I imagine it's got to stick out even more. And it means that the membership of the Legion Riders has to be substantial. So let's talk about those numbers. You're the chair. You've risen to that position within the Riders. How many chapters do we have across the country, and how many active members are there in the Legion Riders?
We currently try to track the chapters across the country. It looks like we're about 2,200 chapters. The actual membership numbers are anywhere between 120 or so thousand. It crosses all of our three organizations: the Legion, the Sons of the American Legion, and the Auxiliary. So of those three groups, there's approximately 120,000 or so, I suspect actually a bit more. And all of them have distinct different purposes and I guess things that they ride for. Many of them have what we call a signature event, where it's something they do every year. I know that my personal chapter in Fairfax, Virginia, we actually host all the American Legion Riders for Rolling Thunder. Wow. And in that vein, we've actually adopted, we now have 10 Gold Star families that come every year that we host with us. And all the battle buddies from those Gold Star families come and join with us in remembering the sacrifice and remembering all those that either gave their lives or specifically on Rolling Thunder, the POWs and MIAs that never came home.
You know, when we talk about numbers in the six digits, when you're talking about 120,000 or more members, that's impressive. And it shows that there really is a tie between the veteran community and the motorcycle community. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that vets and motorcycles seem to go so well together?
I think it's the freedom of a motorcycle just getting out on the road and letting you're taking yourself into the wind. Motorcycle riding itself is dangerous. We are very safety conscious. I know the ride that I led this past year, I led it from Fort Dodge, Kansas to Reno, Nevada. We actually had some motor police give us a safety training class in the beginning. We're constantly keying on safety, but I think it's that being on the edge, taking it, doing that little risky thing and putting it to very good use. I think that's probably one of the reasons. It's also so non-restricting. It's something that you can get out there. You can do it with friends, and you're actually very close to those friends when you're doing that. You'll find that riders typically will, you'll never leave a brother behind in the battlefield, nor will you on the road as a rider. There's a camaraderie that develops between riders that you have to experience to understand.
And we're speaking with a man who's experienced it quite a bit. He is Bob Sussin. He is the chairman of the American Legion Riders. So, you know, we talked about how you joined the Legion. How did you come specifically to the Legion Riders and eventually rise to the position that you're in now?
The Legion Riders developed as a program of the American Legion. So once the riders and everything at the Legion starts at a post level. The Legion has many posts around the country. We're the largest veterans organization, and we actually have a very large, loud lobbying voice. And as having 14,000 posts around the country, one of those posts decided that the motorcycle riding and then the Legion would go hand in hand. They wrote a resolution, put it through their state, back to national, and a national program of the American Legion Riders was formed. And departments, which are states, were setting up their own. Some places have done it as a state organization. Some have done it as a post organization. And the riders then developed and started growing. Early on, we had an advisory group that national got together. I was one of the original guys that brought some riders in from around the country to see how we should, you know, advise the both the organization and the riders so we could stay in sync. And about 2 years ago, we developed into a full committee where the Legion recognized us as a formal committee. And my dear friend, Terry Woodburn, who was the department adjutant from Illinois, was the chairman, and I was just a committee member. Terry passed away, and I was then appointed the chairman. And what we've done is we go around, we try to help with these riders' chapters in finding things to do and help them in their signature events. But everything is with the Legion at first, and it's also very veteran-centric and how to help our veterans, their families, and the community.
You know, I am not an American Legion member, despite being eligible for it, but the more I learn about the organization and now hearing about the American Legion riders, I got to rethink that. I might have to think about joining and taking part in some
what
of the amazing things.
In?
I live in Maryland.
Well, you know, I'm going to be in Maryland on the 22nd. We have a state ride Maryland riders meeting in Clinton, Maryland, and I'll be there giving some briefings and teaching a class.
Oh, very cool.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome.
Well, I'm not sure if I'll be in town, but if I am, I'd say there's a pretty good chance that I might be headed out there. But, you know, when we talk about events like that and about what the Legion riders are doing around the country in all these different localities where you have a few thousand chapters, 120,000 plus members, where can people go to find out more about what you're doing and find out about the events that you might have planned in their areas?
You can go to legion.org/riders. There is a chapter locator. You can put down where you are and try to find a chapter near you. Or go to legion.org, find your closest American Legion post. If you're eligible to be a member, please join. If you're not, you might be eligible to be a son of the American Legion or a member of the Auxiliary. They're all great organizations out just to serve our veterans, their families, and the community. And we need more members. Our voice gets louder and our lobbying efforts get stronger as our membership grows. And it's a wonderful organization, and I challenge anyone eligible to please join.
Now, if there's someone who is a Legion member already and has a motorcycle, or someone who's thinking about joining, like myself, who also has a motorcycle, tell me why they should join the Legion Riders.
Why would you not want to be part of something so wonderful? You know, today you hear about so much going on, and I could give you story after story. I think it all goes back to we as human beings, we like to be members of a tribe. And I liken the American Legion Riders to that tribe. You know, we all are a member of that tribe. We get with that tribe. These are all likes. People like to be with likes. And they like to work for a common goal and a common purpose. I think we do so much good. And I can't toot our own horn enough. I mean, the riders are just an amazing group. We do so much for the veterans and the community and their families that I think that's good enough reason. I mean, if you go out and take a look at legion.org, go to our Facebook page, American Legion Rider, National American Legion Riders, see what we do, and I'm sure that will sell you on why you should be a member.
Well, American Legion members and the Auxiliary, the Sons of the Legion, getting out there on two wheels to do a whole lot of good around the country with the American Legion Riders. And our thanks to Bob Sussin, the chairman of the American Legion Riders, for joining us on the Morning Briefing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.